Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome to the Borough Roosevelt Council meeting, December 9th, 2019. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7th, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall.
You sound like a frog.
That's true. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Escoff?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Brahman? Now, Mark, he's absent. Mayor Malkin?
Here. Heard him yesterday. I had no voice.
It must be nice to live in your house. You don't have to talk to you.
Okay. I'm not going to give a report tonight. I think that I'll wait for reorg in a month to give a synopsis of everything. So we'll just go to public comment at 7:12 on agenda items only. Would anyone from the public like to speak about anything on the agenda? And there being none, we close the public comment on the agenda at 7:12. We come to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the regular minutes of November 25th, 2019?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Stain.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And do I have a motion to approve the closed session minutes of November 25th, 2019?
I'll move that.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Abstain.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
We come to correspondence. We've received a letter from the DOT, State of New Jersey Department of Transportation, dated November 21st, 2019, awarding the fiscal year 2020 municipal aid program for the improvements to the school lane project in the amount of $255,000, which is a lot of money, and we're very grateful to receive that.
So moved. You want to know?
I'll second that.
Mm-hmm. All right, we come to the ordinance of 19-07. This is the public hearing and second reading. It's an ordinance amending ordinance 19-01, which set the salary range and compensation of officials, positions, and employees in the borough to add the additional hourly position of deputy tax collector. And for anyone who may not be aware, our tax collector is temporarily unavailable to perform his duties, and so we hired a deputy tax collector to perform those duties.
For the tax
sale as well. So this ordinance amends the salary ordinance and adds the additional hourly position of deputy tax collector. So I'll open the public hearing at 7:15. Does anyone have anything they'd like to comment on that, speak about that? I will close the public hearing at 7:15.
So moved.
Moving the ordinance.
So motion to adopt.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll second that.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, we come to resolutions. Resolution 19-120, payment of bills, December 9th, 2019.
I'd like to suggest that we pay the bills.
That's a good suggestion. Second?
A second.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Ezekoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Then we come to Resolution 19-121, resolution appointing Deputy Tax Collector Michelle Narcisco.
I'll move for 1921.
I'll second that.
121.
It's right on the second page.
Okay, roll call.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Ezekoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 19-122, resolution awarding a contract for curbside recycling services.
I'll move that for discussion.
Second?
Oh, second that.
Discussion?
I'm not privy to what happened. I know that we got a new car, the same people again, because we only had two bids came in. Did they raise their rates? Does anybody know?
I would say yes, the rates did increase, but I don't have the
I'll find
yeah, it's in here.
Is the increase in there?
Yeah.
Where?
There you go. It's got 20 to 21 to 22 to 23 to 24.
Oh, we got a four-year contract? Five-year contract?
Special services, water, waste recycling.
Five-year agreement.
Yeah.
Okay. It went up. Not a whole lot. That's not bad.
3%, 2 or 3%.
Yeah, it's $1,000 a year, approximately. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Ezekoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 19-123. 2020 software support and license agreement with Edmondson Associates Incorporated. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
I'll second that.
Second. Discussion?
Yeah. Again, I would like to know how much, was there any difference in our cost?
I don't know.
Anybody know?
Don't know.
No.
Hey, how's traffic out there?
Traffic wasn't so bad. It's the rain.
Yeah,
visibility is horrible.
Yeah, here we go.
There you have it.
Another one?
The
contract. Okay, three.
I have the contract.
From 2 to 4. To 3 to 4, it's 1,200.
This is all.
It just went up a little bit.
Okay. What's your definition?
Yeah, I don't know what last year's was right off hand.
Madam Secretary? Madam Clerk?
I only have the 2020. I don't have the 2019.
I think it was 9,000 something.
I can get the 2019 if you just want to hold off for 1 second.
No, what do you guys want to know? What the recycling contract previous
was? No, Edmonds software, how much it went up
in
the year.
That,
yeah, I have the resolution in there. But they... We're in the midst of 19-120, but they did ask about, not 120, I'm sorry,
123. Okay. 123, yeah.
They did want to know the increase on the recycling curbside, but so we're
I
in
can
discussion.
Get that
I can get that.
If you want to do evidence, I can get the
no,
recycling.
No, it's not that important.
It didn't go up that much, but I can get that for you.
Not important.
Recycling, we figured out.
Well, I just texted Anna, she may know.
Oh, about $200 is Anna's from the Edmonds.
You got the answer already? Yeah.
Edmonds.
Oh, yeah, that's what I just asked her, Edmonds.
Yeah. $200.
Yeah, 200.
It went up 200?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
yeah.
pretty good.
Half a percent.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay.
All right. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Ezekoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I just wanted to note that the borough attorney, Greg Cannon, came in at 7:18.
Mm-hmm. Apologize for my tardiness, Madam Clerk.
All right. Nasty out there.
You snuck in.
Right. Resolution 19-124, authorizing the transfer of appropriations, number 2, for 2019.
I'll move 19-124.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, that's just to, because we had to hire, I guess, deputy tax collector.
Right.
And, yeah, it's the time of the year where we get to move some unexpended funds around to areas where we think we'll need them. Basically it.
Any other discussion?
125 is not on the agenda, or?
It's on.
Well, we're on 124 right now.
Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Ezekoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 19-125, resolution canceling appropriation balances.
I'll move that.
And I'll second that.
Discussion?
That's new, you know.
Yeah. There's about $125,000 left in the operating accounts for both the water and the sewer, and we're right near year end. So that's the good news. We have a surplus. And now, if this money isn't canceled, this $80,000 this year, the reserve wouldn't lapse until the end of 2020. So, if that didn't happen, the current fund, we projected that we would run a deficit of about $70,000 in water sewer utilities in our current budget.
Right. Okay.
So if this wasn't canceled, we would have to fund that $70,000 in anticipated deficit.
Right.
So what we're doing is trying to avoid that. We're not sure if we can, because we don't know what the revenues are going to be like at the end of the year here for water and sewer bills. But if we can avoid a deficit in operations for 2019, we want to do that. That's why we're canceling $80,000 of the $125,000.
Cool.
So that's things are looking good, but you know, keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Always.
It's the time of the year when you have, you know, water main breaks and that kind of thing.
We did not
nice,
have one
Mike,
last
nice,
year.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, we didn't have. We never had one last year.
That.
We had some real cold spells.
It's gonna be 62 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's probably worse when it vacillates so much.
Yeah.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Ezekoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Bowen, Public Works.
Nothing to really report. I didn't get a chance to talk to Anna. I just assume that everybody's working very hard. I just don't know what it is.
I think your assumption is correct.
You haven't heard tragedies.
Well, I know the speed homes have been painted.
Yeah, that's done.
Yeah.
A lot of little stuff. I mean, we're still finishing up stuff in here.
Yeah.
That's all from me.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Ezekoff, administration?
Yes. We are administering. And I want to, again, stress that our group has been really doing yeoman's work when it came to our tax collectors'
illness,
absenteeism, and we're getting it all done. At first, it was a little bit tricky, but it did get done, and we're still moving along fine.
It's true, because it was so abrupt and unexpected.
Yes, and he left us really
in a lurch.
None in the lurch. We were just a little.
It's serious.
We're not prepared.
Right, and it was handled beautifully.
Yeah, it was handled very, very well.
Yeah, Anna did an amazing job, and the transition was pretty seamless.
She orchestrated the entire thing.
Yeah.
And did it as usual.
As usual, I was just going to say as usual.
Super job.
Yeah.
We're very grateful for her.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the group, who always come to the front to help. So we are very fortunate.
That's great.
The other thing I would like to mention to all of you is I read an article about tree cities. And so I had Anna contact them for us to find out what was going on. And I got a an email from one of them. From
do you want to say what Tree Cities is, Lou?
Well, it's a quasi government organization. They're involved in the environmental protection and all the other, you know, environmental people. And they give plaques and they do all kinds of nice things for it. And Arbor Day and the entire shooting match. However, so I thought that would be nice if since we have nothing but trees around here, that we would try to get involved in it. But the demand that they ask for joining, you have to have committees and all kinds of other things. And we have such trouble right now getting people to serve on standing committees. Putting another one in there would be futile. So I'm sort of backing out on that one for a while, and let's see what happens. We'll play it by ear. That's how I play my piano.
Can you pass it on to the environmental committee?
What?
Can you pass that on to the...
I'm sure. Well, Michael, I'm sure, is more than aware of it.
Okay.
That's the same problem, right? I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe some people from the committee would, but it's very hard to get people to do it. And it's really this looks like it takes a lot of time and effort to get this thing done. So I sort of backed away for a while.
You said you thought it might be for a larger city or.
I would think so. I think that in most of the places that.
Or real cities.
Big cities and but anyway, I gave it a shot.
Thanks. I'm glad you did though, Lou. Councilmember Dermody, Community Development, Code Enforcement.
Yeah, just regarding the bulletin board, Tim Hartley drew up some plans that I have here to add a roof to the existing structure, which I think we can all agree is needed. The papers kind of blow around and get wet. So I think Anna's looking into possibly buying a new structure, but we could also just add a roof on, I think. That might be more than adequate. So I'll talk with Tim, and hopefully we can plan something out. And maybe even add some glass doors or something to protect them.
Yeah. Is the bulletin board itself in good condition? It looked like it was sort of rotting to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty new. It's relatively new, right? Yeah.
But the thing is, Joe and two other people in town did it. They wanted to get it back up as soon as possible.
Right.
So they had it up in no time, so it may not be
quite as sturdy.
Yeah,
I think it needs like a coating of some kind of...
Yeah, well, the wood is okay, but the board itself is cork board, and it's not good when it gets wet.
Right. Yeah.
Originally, there was a pomace up there painted over, and it was there for many years, and it holds thumbtacks well.
Yeah, so maybe just replacing the board itself and then adding a roof would do it.
Exactly.
I'll take a look at it.
Yeah.
You know, having glass on that thing is I would think is a little tricky.
Yeah, that's Anne was looking into buying a new structure, and a lot of them offer glass doors. But I have a feeling we could make something for far less expensive. So.
But it makes me nervous with glass outside. Glass doors are...
They're prone to getting broken.
Plexiglass, maybe, but not regular
glass.
Not the regular glass. That's going to be on the floor in 2 hours.
Yeah.
But even if you put...
And then it's opening and closing.
And the hinges go and everything starts.
And also, can the little kids
get inside of it
to put their stuff?
So, yeah, I think maybe just the roof would do for at least now.
A bigger roof?
And a taller
roof?
Well, the roof, just like the old one.
Just doesn't have a roof?
Tim drew it up. No, it doesn't have a roof.
Oh,
he drew up plans for a roof for it that just hasn't been implemented.
Well, I think that might be a good idea.
Yeah.
And the different backing itself,
right.
The board itself, yeah. The sheet of home itself, $50, $30, you know. So,
that's a good idea, too.
Yeah, because no one's happy that it's in poor condition.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Tim's on his way. Him and his wife take off for a couple of months in the wintertime, so... I grabbed that from them this morning because I knew they were leaving.
Okay.
So I wanted to. I've gotten complaints about the bulletin board. So.
All right. Try to address that sooner than later.
You know me.
That's all.
Okay.
Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring the council's attention to the letter we received from the DOT. We got another $255,000 grant for school land. And when you total it up from 2017 through this next budget, which will be the 2020 budget, we've received over $1 million in grants.
And that's good money for a short period of money.
Yeah, to do the road work, the work that needs to be done. A lot of communities don't do that. If you ride around some communities, you look at the roads, they've been patched and paved and not taken care of. I think we ought to be proud that we went out for these funds and that we are doing our job and taking care of the roads and making sure they're in good shape. And we're doing it in a very competitive field, too. They had 661 applications.
Yeah.
Just this go-around, and we received a $255,000 grant, $250,000 grant to do the road work. So I think we should be proud of ourselves. I also wanted to thank
grateful to
Carmella for doing a great job and doing everything by the book and in a timely way.
And Farm Lane is not that big. We might be able to get without taking a bond even.
Yeah, there's always that possibility.
Yeah, that's not a very big street.
Yeah, so things are looking, I think they're looking pretty good financially. And
terrific.
We're doing a good job of going out and getting the grants. End of report.
Councilmember Trammell, utilities.
We got a couple of things that have happened. The transfer switch for the emergency generator got installed last week at the water plant and seems to be working very well. That's doing nicely. It's a good thing.
Yes, of course.
Okay. The wastewater plant, there are problems with the wipes and roots. So the roots, you know, when the sewer lines and stuff. But today they cleared the problem that was on Homestead here. They brought the jet truck in, and they pulled roots out, but they also pulled out a lot of rags and wipes.
Still, really?
Yeah. Still doing it, huh?
Yeah. Also, the pump station on Lake Drive had roots in it, but it also, not the pump station, the pump station had rags in it. It had a washcloth in it, and that was the problem with the pump station there.
So, in other words, that was, like a washcloth was actually able to be flushed down the toilet?
Yeah, you could probably flush it down, but then if it's got to go up through a lift station, the pumps aren't going to pass.
Yeah, I can't even believe it actually went down.
That's easy enough. I mean, diapers, stuff like that. So, you know, we know that there's been a problem with roots, but when there's something large, like wipes and things, they get caught up in the roots, and that becomes more of a real problem.
Right.
If they can make it to the sewer plant, that's what the muffin monster, the thing they call, does.
Yeah.
That chops things up like wipes and whatnot. But between old people and very young people in town, how do you stop them from putting wipes down the toilet? This is
so far
interesting discussion.
Announcements haven't worked at all.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any kind of incentive program we could come out with, like maybe 1 month if there's no wipes whatsoever.
Good luck.
We could have a
reduction. Has brochures.
What?
Brochures.
That they put in with the bills.
We put out flyers.
Put a simple sticker on the water sewer utility bills that says no wipes, help keep fees down, that they clog the systems. Yeah. There's no such thing as a flushable wipe.
There is not.
There ought to be a class action suit against the companies
sure
that are advertising
it.
Yeah.
And they are advertising it all over.
Because they're damaging our system, and they're not notifying people that they can do that.
Yeah, if you don't flush anything.
I think California is doing what you
suggested. What was that, Joe? How do you know?
They're going after these people.
Yeah, they should.
Telling you don't do it.
Yeah.
Too much information.
It's not real.
Yeah, but it's how Mike Lyons and I were talking about this. It's almost like if there was something that went to the school you know.
Yeah, we talked about that before,
think you did that, too.
Yeah, you know, then the kids can have flyers that they take home with them and stuff like that.
I think the kids ought to have class trips, believe it or not, to the water and sewer.
And their parents.
It's very interesting how they work. Kids will think about how things work, you know. You don't just flush things down the toilet and it goes away. It goes somewhere. Where does it go? What happens to it? I think it would be very interesting for kids to look.
Do a science project.
From an engineering perspective, yeah.
Most kids get on their parents who smoke, you know, trying to convince them not to smoke because they're taught in school.
What is a flushable wipe? Like a paper towel?
No, they sell it for babies, and well, for babies, it's like when you change their diaper to actually wipe them. But then they also make them in larger sizes for adults, for whatever it is.
For older folks,
you might want to need a wet wipe, or they and they also carry travel ones.
Yep.
And you pull one after another.
So whether you're away somewhere or you're in your own house, you just wipe whatever you need, whether it's your hands or any other body part, and then throw it down the toilet. And it says right on there, flushable. They're absolutely not.
So what are you going to do with it? Just put it in the trash in the bathroom?
Right.
And it'll start
smelling
nursing home.
That's why I spent the last
thing. No, I
know. It's plastic bags, yes.
Not plastic bags, but when you put it in the toilet, and instead of changing the container or cleaning the container once a week, you do it twice a week. It won't smell.
But that's the thing. It's like, how do you tell people what to do with their private life?
You know, this is pure laziness. There's nothing else. And a total disrespect for the town. And for the system.
Well, it's universal. I mean, it's international.
It's
London has a huge problem.
I know. But the point I'm going to make is that, you know, if this was New York City with 8 million people, this is not New York City. This is Roosevelt.
No. Queens just had a problem where two or three blocks the sewer backed up and filled their basements.
Right. Oh, God, I saw that. Oh, my God, that was disgusting.
And the line itself is 80 feet down.
Yeah, I saw that.
So these are problems. There's like grease going down the drain.
Well, but the point
wipes going down the drain, and also roots.
So to educate a small town is not that difficult.
We have sent out many flyers.
That's what I mean. That's education. They don't do that in New York. They just fine.
Yeah, but I don't think
it's just fine. A couple of $1,000.
That's what I was wondering, if we could have some kind of incentive program. Where if there's a month where there's no wipes found in the system at all,
what do we do?
I don't know. Could we lower the bill?
No.
Well, there are.
Just on the street, there's no wipe. And if once they have the streets completely,
They win that month.
They want a free case of wipes, right? Okay, but now
you know, you can tell whether what street is a culprit.
Homestead was today, by the way. So, but there are YouTube videos of what they call fatbergs and the sewer lines. So, you know, we should find a couple of those and put those out in the borough bulletin, and then the thing that we might send to the school to say, look at this. Yeah. Is this really what you want to happen in your town? You know, so. Yeah, I mean, they're talking London had to pull out
London's
a ton of
disaster,
Fatburger, you know, so Fatburg. So,
yes.
Or I wonder if we could do a code red. You know, at least just a one time. And make it
That's
strong.
That's a legal thing?
Like, Massachusetts, they put in no parking signs about 10 or 15 years ago. And they made them a little bit humorous, and they just wrote, "Don't even think about parking
That's
here."
Cox.
And people
That's
really
Ed Cox.
Responded to it. Yeah, people really responded.
That's a good idea, Peggy. How about like a code red whenever this thing happens with this wipe thing?
Right, and say, "Come out of the code red." Say, "Don't even think about putting a wipe or any type of
grease.
Anything but toilet paper down the toilet. Your bill will go up. Yep. It's causing a great expense, which is." Eventually will be reflected in your bill, and please, no matter what, even though it says flushable, it's not.
A code red with the threat of a possible increase to cover the cost.
But make it like so that just don't say, please don't put, you know what I mean? Make it like, don't do this. You're going to
see damage the system and...
It costs money. Costs money,
And I think we need to say, even though it says flushable,
that's what Steve
it's not.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, put it in dollars and cents, as Steve says. Maybe you're.
So do we want to do that? Should we put out a code red?
Code red next to a potential increase if it's not resolved.
If it continues, we have to increase this.
See, I don't know about a code red, though, because.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, usually for emergencies and it gets people's attention, if you start doing all kinds of things.
Right, but this is kind of. There was an emergency today on Homestead.
Yeah, but it's not an emergency.
Well,
it's
not dire.
Life and death or anything.
It's not an immediate dire. Emergency, but
maybe we should mix it up with the emergency.
I don't see a problem with it. I'm sorry.
System.
We want to do a straw vote, whether we should do it or not.
What's that? I mean, your Aberdeen's.
We have the muffin makers in every pump station.
Yeah, yeah.
You have what?
Muffin crunchers in every
pump
station.
Yeah, I mean, their lives are a lot bigger. So you're
bigger?
More comparable to Allentown.
What?
Yeah.
Allentown's in a lot of public education. Those brochures are, they've mailed them like multiple tax bills.
And what is that? What happened?
I don't know. You could ask Carmella. I mean, Carmella's the one. She's their engineer.
But
it's probably better addressed to Carmella. But I know that, look, I haven't heard, let's put it, I sit at all the meetings.
Yeah.
They discuss their utilities. It's the bane of their existence like it is of yours. And I haven't heard, since they started sending those things out, they did this big thing like 2 years ago. I really haven't heard much more.
They're having a real problem with the sewers in Allentown. They got to
put
a couple of million into it, and Mike walked away from
4.7 to be exact.
Yeah, exactly. Mike, a couple of years ago, he said, I want you, you gotta, and they said, no.
Begged him to come back after we had some of us in the meantime. He came back, and he only came back because we promised to replace it. Yeah,
I think we could start out with a flyer that goes to homeowners.
You know, we have done flyers.
That says, has a stop sign on it, red, that says stop. Not use.
Do you want to pick up the brochures from Allentown tomorrow night? They're in the back of the council chamber.
There's
a green one and a blue one, and it talks about water conservation, and the other one is about what you can flush and what you can't flush.
Right.
I think we need an ongoing campaign. The school, kids ought to
send something. Yeah, we have,
just
we have
keep
reach
on
out
reminding
to
people over
She's
and over again.
Sure, yeah, that'd be great.
They did a ton of stuff, and
and that's why they're in the problems that they are, because they never dealt with these things before.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from the plant deteriorating.
They were like 10 years ahead of you guys. So you guys are, have done a lot. But you kind of caught it before. I mean, theirs was gone, since 2009 probably. They really had no chance to repair. It was a replacement job. And then since then, it's just been trying to figure out how to pay for that.
Yeah. There's another sewer consideration, wastewater consideration. There's the state level. For phosphates, I think it's called. They changed it. They lowered what you can put in, and we're above that now. Okay. We were okay before. This year, when they put out the new regulations, we're above. So Mike says within a couple of years, they're really going to be after us about that. And what we can do about it, he's looking into. We could dump a lot more chemicals in, but he said that might not be the answer. The trickling filters are working for all practical purposes now, but, we're talking about $500,000 to fix the trickling filters, but they seem to be working. But the long-term answer might be to redo the trickling filters to the newer technologies that will get rid of the phosphates and stuff like that. So this is something we want Carmella to look into. I know back 2 or 3 years ago, she had mentioned this in one of her reports, that there is newer technology, but of course. So, but it's less maintenance and stuff like that. It's more of a bio thing than trickling filters, standard trickling filters. So we're okay for now, but it's got to be looked into, because within 2 years, we're going to be failing the inspections.
Yeah, and I'd rather be proactive and not fail the inspections and try to do something before.
Okay, that's it for Utes.
Right. Thanks, Joe. Mike, do you need to say anything as environmental chair?
A few of the things I would think at various capacities.
Okay.
Yep. First of all, at the Tree City thing, I looked at the Tree City thing, but it seems to be more geared to some town that actually has a department that handles trees.
Fairhaven Runs.
Right.
Yeah.
If they want to see that, they want to see the. You have dedicated staff to it.
They tell you that
specifically for it.
That's what they say here.
So
Shade Tree Commission.
It's not even.
No, that's because that's volunteer.
When we do it state, missing. We had shade tree commission moved out. There's really no, it didn't, there was nobody, we didn't put anybody on it because the environmental commission, basically whatever had to be done with that area was done by the environmental commission. Yeah. Multiplying things for no particular reason. Okay. A couple of things. On signs, street signs, I noticed that there's a street sign missing at the intersection of Clarksburg and Rushdown.
The stop sign, or
the Clarksburg sign, or the Rushdale?
Oh, the street nomenclature.
Yeah, the name. Yeah. Streets,
yeah.
Just the pole
that
there's no
street. Okay, that's
I think that pole got hit somewhere.
Well, whatever the reason,
I thought I saw it lying down at one point.
I don't know. Whatever it is, nothing up there now. So
yeah, well,
I'm saying we take a look at
okay.
It.
Okay.
Well, that's a county road, so the county
we
replaces it?
No.
Through the street sign. They,
oh, you still?
All the county does. The county maintains the roadway. That's all the county does. Mm-hmm. We get involved in and anything on the road, otherwise.
Oh, they get involved in the signs.
Yeah, because they didn't let us put the stop sign up.
Well, I know, but they might tell you you can't do it.
Well, we could ask. Let's just find out. And if
I want to try to get in touch with the engineers again now that life is settled.
Yeah,
down.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
The shoreline, something that's somewhat humorous idea or whatever. But if we had imagine if it was technically possible, we put some kind of screen at the at each sewer line where the lateral comes into the main. You put some kind of screen, and if they put the things that are supposed to, you can go through. But if they do that, they'll back up, and the backup's their problem, and not.
Like an anti-cleanup.
One way to
Michael,
no, that's true.
When you do that, let me know because I'm going to go into that business of cleaning it. I'll make a fortune. Good Lord.
You have like a little dip filter in there, yeah.
We just patent that idea, Mike. Yeah. Patent that idea.
Yeah.
Well, make a prototype.
Okay. Now I have another function. I suppose de facto to make me the jury if you want to, but it doesn't really matter. That I'm on the school board. So I can report to you by what the school board is. Now I can report to them on what the council is doing. I can report to the school, you know, both ways. Mm-hmm. There's some reason to have some at least guarded optimism that we may have a way out of this thing because they had a meeting with the commissioner and
state commissioner.
The state commissioner of education.
And Ron Dancer.
And the staff. Yeah, right. And the staff. And that was a separate meeting. This was just a meeting with the staff. And they were coming up with certain ideas. One of the ideas they came up with, which had not been done anywhere, but they thought it might be possible to do it, was have a combination of charter school and public school. That it would be a regular public school. And for the Roosevelt kids, it would function as a regular public school. But outside kids, it could function as a charter school. There might be a way of doing this. And administratively, how they would do it, but they want to pursue it with us. So that may be a way, because we get some way. The problem is getting some way to get more kids in there so that we can get more state aid so that we can keep the school in operation.
Could you get Pressler to one of these meetings and talk to him about that?
Well, it's about the state commission. The state commission has to come up with the Assemblyman Dancer is introducing a bill.
Carve-out
bill, which very specifically goes all the reasons why Roosevelt is different than other municipalities, and he's going to be introducing that. And I can call him to ask for help here with the Democratic side, and I have two Democratic co-sponsors in the Senate.
But now this is a lame duck session.
It's a lame duck session. I don't think they'll really be able to do anything this session, but at least they can introduce it. It can be introduced. But see, it's obviously not going to go anywhere.
Would it come up in January for the...
Well, then you have to reintroduce it for January.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
But at least it's there, so it can be reintroduced and have it set up.
It's in the Senate?
Well, he's an assembly member. Thompson's going to introduce it.
I have a meeting with Thompson.
Well, the Senate will be the same people, no matter what. In January.
Yeah. I have a meeting this Thursday with Mary Robinson Cohen and Ken LeCompte and Senator Thompson.
Okay.
Ron is pretty much into this.
Ron's
he's
really
doing
into
what
it. And I have to say, honestly,
I want to thank him for all that
I
he's
think,
doing
well,
for us.
Honestly,
you know, yeah.
Well, he's been, believe me, I've thanked him, Mary's thanked him.
Ron Dancer.
But also, I think this is a culmination, honestly, of or a result of the Benjamin Brown event, because when I invited Dancer, Clifton, and Thompson, Senator Thompson and Assemblyman Dancer came and were very impressed, and I was not going to bring up the school because that's not why I invited them. But Ron Dancer brought the school up to me, so I said, look, that's not why I invited you, but if you're going to bring it up, I dove into it, and I could see he was very, very interested and caring. And the next thing you know, he set up a meeting, which I couldn't go to that one, but with Mary, and now there's one. Thompson didn't seem as enthusiastic as Dancer, but now we have a meeting. At his behest, we have a meeting on Thursday. So I didn't want to say anything because I don't want to count our chickens or any of those cliches, but it's not looking as grim.
Dancer communicated to me that he's extremely impressed with Mary and that, you know, he's doing what he can do. And the school.
Yeah, the school.
You know, to him, it's in his district, and this school really shines.
So
he can, it's a feather in his cap also, if you can.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Does anyone at the table have any old business they'd like to discuss?
For old people.
Okay. Under new business, we have an application for a license to rent a residential property. I've known Mark for 25 years. I don't remember how to pronounce his last name. Mark?
Terezniev.
At 18 North Valley Road.
which property is it?
That's on North Valley. It's
Intellizari
lives. It's directly across the street.
Okay.
Helen did pay the fee, and Jeremy has been out and passed it tonight.
All set.
It's all set. Yep.
Is there a CO for it?
Well, Jeremy was there.
Well, he'll do this once we.
He's going to do it once we do this.
Motion to approve.
I'll move that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And the second thing under new business is use of the Borough Hall by Emily Mojica on February 29th. Oh, it's leap year. Leap day.
Yes, originally it was the 22nd, but she couldn't. She had to change it.
So it's changed to the 29th?
That's available too. Yes.
My daughter's getting married that day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
they only have to do it every 4 years for their anniversary.
By the time at the end of her life, she's only been married 12 years.
Exactly, right. Yeah. It's a 29th.
Yeah. Anyway, on February 29th, 2020, from 7 a.m. to 10. Wow.
Well, she's setting up.
The party's
not.
Long party.
I want to go to that party.
What day of the week is
it? I don't know. I'm going to that party. Do I have a motion?
Yeah. I'll move. Yeah.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, I open the public comment at 7:54. Public comment on any item. Neil?
Neil Marco, Roosevelt First States Club President. Several weeks ago, I came in front of you and to discuss why the donation that has customarily been made to the First States Club wasn't made. And I was told that you needed financial information, you wanted to look over our information. Grudgingly, or I should say, I sent over to the borough treasurer, and she distributed to the finance committee and whoever is appropriate, the latest tax returns and our plan for spending and, whatever purchases we were planning to make. We still haven't gotten the donation. I was told just at the beginning of this meeting that by Mayor Hamilton, that they wanted to have, that he wanted to...
Councilman.
Councilman. Yes, Mayor is still...
Well.
Still covered. All right. Councilman Hamilton, if you want.
Thank you.
That he wanted to see the balances of our accounts, and I don't know what other information, but that's what he said. We had a discussion at the First Aid Squad, and we're not going to be having a meeting where we discuss the contents of our accounts with the borough. So that's really what it comes down to. We
provide. Tell, why not?
Because we're an independent organization, and we basically don't want to have our internal accounts scrutinized by the bar. We provided you with our tax return, public information, which has detailed financial information, all right? And you know, and that's to the extent that we're going to provide. We're not going to provide access to our internal financial operations. It's as simple as that. Now, if you choose not to make the donation, if you choose to not support us, I would just like to know right now if that's what you're going to do.
Well, what we're doing, Neil, is that obviously the First Aid Squad is in dire condition as far as having enough volunteers to cover 24/7 the residents of Roosevelt. As you know, people have been upset by, you know, many people having to wait quite a while for an ambulance. We made that agreement with Millstone, which I know you aren't happy about, but you know, we made that agreement so that at least a certified EMT could be on the premises quickly, even though it's with a fire engine and they can't do transport, but just to cover the times. I have the printout from the county. So 2019, from January through the end of September, the First Aid Squad, Roosevelt First Aid Squad, was only able to answer less than half the calls that came in. But if you factor out night and you just look at the day calls, they were only able to answer 6% of the day calls that came in because the people on your, you know, obviously first aiders are at work. So we've been looking at other alternatives and other options so that we have coverage for the people here as much as, the, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's possible that we will need that money to either pay an outside ambulance service, contribute to another outside service. We know right now the calls are not being answered nearly as frequently as we need them to be. And so we are reluctant to release that money in the case that we need it to pay a paid ambulance squad, such as Robert Wood Johnson or some of the others. We're also waiting, obviously, to meet with the sheriff's office to see what the county has to say. But even before that can be put into any kind of effect or come to fruition, we need to do something, and we need to do something quickly. And so we're holding back on that money in case we need to, as I said, contribute or pay for an outside service. You know, somebody that's...
Okay, so let me cut to the chase here. You are not going to support us one way or the other because the reasons that you gave right now are completely independent of whether or not we get our money or not. We get our donation, I should say, or not. So, I thank you. I also would like to add that I don't think that that you or anyone on his council, as far as I understand, is qualified to discuss what is adequate coverage and what you need. I've seen a lot of mistakes made, and I don't want to go into them because I came here to discuss the donation. If you're saying to me that you're not going to support the First Aid Squad, that's fine.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we're looking into other alternatives. If we don't, I can't give you an answer at this point. We may not.
And
be
we
able
also
to
have the county thing is coming up soon.
Well, that, but it wouldn't come up soon enough. I mean, we need something
immediately. No, I know. That's right. I mean, that's right. But the county thing is coming up, and if you buy a lot of equipment now, and the county comes in with something different, then that equipment becomes useless to everybody.
I mean, Neil,
I just would like to, diverge from what I wanted to come here for. I came here to talk about our donation, okay, which is a mere $20,000, all right? But you've changed the subject to discuss coverage, which is something that we discussed the last time I was here. All right? That's a totally different topic for discussion than our donation. Because $20,000 is not going to buy you much in the way of first aid coverage. There are people who I've seen get one first aid call and they get hit with a $5,000 or $6,000 bill. With all due respect to your $500 bill, that's not real.
I'm only quoting somebody.
We've responded to over, we've booked over 47 calls this year. That does not include the ones where we did not respond. We keep track of all this information.
I have it also.
The bottom line is that right now you have a volunteer for state sport. You make a donation. If we do not have a Roosevelt crew, you get a crew from a neighboring town. Right now, as a matter of fact, we get simultaneously toned out to Millstone or whatever is the available squad in the area whenever a call goes out. All right? And this is the way it works in rural New Jersey. If you want to,
but it's changing. It's changing because the culture is changing. Towns can't get volunteers. Every town is going through this. The culture is changing. It wasn't like years ago when we had more volunteers than we even needed in Roosevelt and every other town. Volunteer culture is changing, and it's getting more and more difficult to recruit volunteers for fire and for first aid. If you think that I want to disband or help disband the Roosevelt First Aid Squad, you know how long I've lived here. I've been here 45 years. I would never want to see it disbanded, never. I was always extremely proud of our own fire and first aid squads.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not meeting the needs of the people at all. And I can't, the health and safety and welfare of the residents has to be my primary concern. My first concern can't be that you'll be upset that you don't have a first aid squad anymore in Roosevelt. I have to know that the people, when they call 911, will be responded to as quickly as possible. And right now, that's not what's happening. You answer 5% or 6% of your day calls. And through the end of September, it was 47% of your evening calls. And when they weren't not responded to by the Roosevelt squad, people were waiting 30 to 45 minutes. And people were coming to us saying, you have to do something. And as I said, it's certainly not unique to Roosevelt. This is virtually every small town in New Jersey and across the country. I don't want to see the Roosevelt squad disbanded, but we have to do something. And if we need money, and I've looked into many different, I've been in discussions about all the different possibilities and alternatives, and I can't imagine setting up a scenario where each resident would get a $5,000 bill. We will not let that happen. Well, I've heard otherwise, so obviously there's dissenting views, but we have to look into alternatives, and we have to reserve that money. You do have money in your account, do you not?
We have sufficient funds to continue our day-to-day operation for the immediate future.
And what would you call the immediate future?
Well, it's hard to tell. I'm not treasurer of the first aid squad.
Well, I mean, we did look at your numbers. It seems like you'd be okay for a while.
For a while.
We also
were planning on making an acquisition of equipment because some of our equipment is aging, as I pointed out. One of the things that we wanted to buy this year was a power truck, which basically allows a single EMT to enter to load a patient in, to even a relatively robust patient into the rig. This is becoming more and more common across.
Do have enough money to purchase that?
Yeah, we probably do have enough money, but we're dipping into reserves that are necessary for any organization to have in case there's some sort of a problem. I mean, and problems do happen. Last week I was on a fire call to Millstone because the Millstone or Robert Wood Johnson ambulance was in an automobile accident in the middle of the night and they had zero coverage.
Well, that's what I, as I said, every town is, this is something that's common
to
every town.
They pay for it, and they pay through the nose. Listen, obviously, the $20,000, which makes up our donation, is too much for you to spend. You don't want to do it. It's, I don't consider your assessment of our checking account to be, I mean, your description of why you're holding back is totally different from the result of you looking at our checking account.
No, you're right.
So there's a bit of I feel like you've been, you know, there's been a deception on the part of the council.
How do you see that?
Because whether or not you looked at our checking account or not is not going to determine whether or not you have money or move ahead with another alternative provider.
Right, that's correct.
So it doesn't really matter. What you told me, the reason why you're holding back, has nothing to do with whether or not you give it to us.
That's true.
It doesn't really matter.
Right,
but let me
just
make this point, okay? What you were doing, if I might be just playing it open, is exactly the same scenario that happened in Millstone. Right now, their volunteer squad is kaput, but it's kaput because of the actions of the township committee in Millstone. And right now, they're paying through the nose. They can't afford what they have. How you guys are going to even conceivably think of affording it is just completely baffling.
So how would you suggest that?
Can I finish? And the fact that you haven't come to anyone on the first aid squad informally and asked our opinion as to how to proceed and how to address these issues, to me,
we certainly did have a meeting with you, and we asked that.
You had a meeting with us and the fire department, which, by the way, has got its slew of problems. Okay, but I don't want to necessarily go into that right now. I just hope they're on your insurance policy. But at any rate, clearly, right now, you decided you're not going to give us the donation.
No, that decision hasn't been made. It has not come before the council.
It's December.
Let me.
All right.
I understand
what is your suggestion, though? For the full coverage, yeah.
What is our suggestion?
Yeah, do you have an idea of how the account could be covered
for
24
hours?
I mean, money aside, everything else.
Right now, say, for example, one suggestion that was thrown out there. We're changing topics here now. But one suggestion that some people think of is, maybe we can go in with Millstone and utilize their Robert Wood Johnson coverage. They hard bill people. Right now, whoever we do cover, they don't get a bill. But everybody gets...
Well, I think you're misunderstanding my question, because I'm having the same exact problem in Allentown. I don't know any of you people or who is with history or anything. It's a public policy problem in Allentown. We just put out 4 RFPs for us in Upper Freehold, for Allentown alone, with the consent of the first aid squad, because no one knows how to get enough bodies to cover the hours. And no one could come up with a solution there with the volunteer squad only, or even with help from Robbinsville, about how there was enough bodies. So I guess my question to you is very specific. How do we get enough bodies here to cover everyone 24 hours, make sure an ambulance shows up? It might be volunteers sometimes, paid people other times. I've seen a lot of different solutions. You are correct in that none of them work because this isn't a private market problem. But do you have any solution in the meantime while we wait for the county to bail us out?
When there is
mutual aid, most likely.
Yes.
Right.
The reason you have mutual aid is because we provide mutual aid to other communities.
Right.
One call. You do away with the Roosevelt First Aid Squad. There is no more mutual aid. Now you have to pay for everything. It's very,
right,
very simple. Okay.
But how much mutual aid can there be when your squad is not available?
If you basically go out and say, we're not going to have, you know, we're going to go in and, for example, one suggestion is you make a deal and you join the Millstone contract, which, by the way, I think they would love to do because they love to get their hands on funding from Roosevelt. Right? What do you think is going to happen? All that's going to happen is that one ambulance that's in Millstone is now going to be tasked with covering Roosevelt, which it does already when there's mutual aid. So you get no advantage other than you get the pay money. Lots of money.
That was actually not an option. I've been in talks with Millstone, and that's not an option to use their ambulance.
Yeah, but I guess, but still, my point is, what is the policy solution? If you don't have, if you do or don't, or I don't even know how many people you have. I just write the resolutions here. But okay. Will you follow me?
Yes. The only solution that I've seen that seems to be viable wherever, and I brought this up the last time I was here, is a solution that embodies multiple jurisdictions with a combination of volunteers and career. The reason why you would want to have volunteers is because the cost of singular EMTs is a huge
problem. Every volunteer hour lowers the cost tremendously. I mean, I can't argue with you on that.
Okay.
So is that something you guys would be interested in, or regional? Because I'm the borough attorney for half the towns in the Panhandle, yes. And I don't see any other solution to this area in providing this coverage other than some sort of quasi mix between the two, private and public, and volunteers.
I did a search of my son lives in Seaside Heights. In Seaside Heights, there isn't a Seaside Heights First Aid Squad. There's one called the Tri-Borough First Aid Squad. Guess what? If you do a search in New Jersey for Tri-Borough First Aid Squad, there's like five of them. Okay. Now, what is it? It's multiple municipalities. Seaside Heights, Seaside Park, and I think one more. I don't know the other one. All right. But they are, it's like a volunteer first aid squad. They also have career daytime coverage, and coverage in the evening, supplanted during the day by volunteers. That's the only solution that has.
But there are enough volunteers then? I mean, you're back to the same basic question. Where are they getting their volunteers?
You're missing the point. The point here is that when you have multiple jurisdictions, and you have volunteers, and you have the sparse call rate that we have here, okay? It's not that you don't have enough volunteers. It's the adequate deployment of resources in order to do it. If you have a community like Englishtown, which has, 20,000 calls a year, you can't expect volunteers to handle them all because people have to live. You can't have a squad of 20 to 30 people. I know of only one other volunteer-only squad in Monmouth County. Only one.
Was that Keyport?
Marlborough.
Okay.
Where?
Marlborough. And for some strange reason, they're able to attract many volunteers.
Marlborough.
Conversely, Morganville, down the road, struggles.
Right, that's still.
All right? So there's no logical reason why one succeeds and one does not. But as far as I'm concerned, the only way to provide EMS in a community like this, where it's very sparsely populated and infrequent calls, is basically to have some sort of regionalized first aid squad. Because essentially, even if you have at that point in time one ambulance that's on duty, volunteers at night, there's an ambulance who can come. And that's basically what the problem is.
An ambulance available, I call it.
I mean, Millstone has an ambulance 24/7 by Robert Wood Johnson. And there are times when they go days without a call. And so it's an inefficient utilization of resources.
Right, but I've been arguing. Many places. It's not a private market problem because Monop tried to make money doing it. Robert Wood Johnson's tried to make money doing it. Capital Health. All these companies have come in. Essentially, you don't know when the calls are going to come in. You don't know how long they're going to take, and you don't know if people are going to pay. And that's a really bad business model for any private business. And so, until the upper level of the government figure this out, we all have to figure it out on a basis.
But the main point is that you're right about those things. But first of all, that you don't know if they're going to pay. A lot of these firms, like Robert Wood Johnson, hard bill. So it's a lot.
Right, but you can't get blood from a stone. I guess it's like they're not vetted clients that come to your private business. It's whoever calls the phone.
It goes to court sometimes, I suppose, depending upon. We're not talking about a $50 bill. We're talking about, an EMS transport with ALS is going to, depending upon what happens, it's going to be thousands of dollars. It's not cheap.
Could I make a suggestion to maybe move this whole conversation forward in policy process?
could you figure out what the squad can cover? Because what we really have a...
What do you mean by that?
So, like, what could you guarantee the town that you could cover with an ambulance? What hours? Because, I mean, so we have a chicken or the egg problem here, right? The governing body doesn't want to donate money because they don't know what their extending liability is for potentially getting coverage. And you guys, as far as I've been sitting here, I don't have any reading, have never really given the other side of the equation, the yin, which is what you can cover with the people that you have and the equipment that you have or new equipment or whatever that requires.
We generally cover our calls, almost all of our calls.
Okay.
But,
so I guess my point is, could you get a commitment from the squad to the governing body saying we can cover X hours with this percentage rate and so that we can go out and...
I don't understand the utility of that information. Right now, a call goes out right now, the county dispatches. When they dispatch the Roosevelt First Aid Squad, they know the surrounding communities, and due to the insistence of the council, they dispatch another available rig. Every call that goes out here.
Right, so what I'm saying is, what if we... What you're
asking... We're not paying for that.
Right.
So I don't know what the utility of us giving you... We cannot give you a guarantee at all. We can't give you a guarantee on anything.
And there
nobody can give you a guarantee on any of this stuff.
But you had a 47% response rate for the first 9 months of 2019, so that's less than half the time at night. I'm talking about just 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
I don't think that that's correct.
I have the statistics from the sheriff's office.
Just because you can look at it, but if you don't know how to read
I had someone sit down with me.
For example, a lot of times there was a call that goes off, all right, and it's a mutual aid call, and before we respond, that call is canceled.
I had all that deciphered for me.
But look, regardless of whether those statistics are correct or not, my point is that you can't give us, like, hour duty hours from 6 to 10? Look at my point.
Yeah, we have a duty schedule that runs from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. every day.
Okay.
All right. My usual duty schedule is Saturday evenings from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Okay.
Okay? And we have other people who do coverage.
And so what I'm saying is if you could back that up for us, for example, we'll cover 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., or mutual aid is perfectly acceptable. As long as an ambulance shows up, the governing body doesn't care.
That's the point that I'm trying to say to you. An ambulance does show up, always.
Right, so if that's at night, and that's if we know that, I'm sure we have stats, then we could back into what we actually need to enhance the service on this side of the table, which would give you a number, which would get us back to this side of the table and making a commitment to you. You follow me?
And tell you how you're supposed to do this, all right? From the standpoint of properly doing, not necessarily EMS, but any sort of emergency services that you have. This would include fire and police if you actually had it. The proper way to do this is to hire a person who is essentially an industrial engineer. You set particular statistics as to what you want in terms of coverage. You want, within a certain time frame, you want 85 or 90% of response within a certain amount of time. And then by looking at the essentially the heat map of where the calls occurred and when they occurred, this engineer can give you exactly what is the level of resources that you need to apply to the situation. That's never been done. It was brought up for example, this issue was brought up when the original discussion about the fire department occurred. It's never been done. Because that costs money to hire an expert to go out and do that. Instead, we just take the attitude that we're going to cover whatever we can cover, and we're going to allow mutual aid to go out and actually step in when we can. That's really the proper way to do it. You have to basically build an engineering model and determine.
But that model already exists. The 911 data.
But they don't have that model at all.
They have a GIS.
That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is You have an engineer look at all the calls for, say, the last 3 years. They know where the calls occur. They know when they occur within the calendar year. And they can tell you how to have resources for first aid or fire available in order to meet a certain statistic as to how
how long it would take to respond and how, and how often they have to meet that target. And that's basic industrial engineering.
But to
hire an expert to do that. If that's what you want to do, that's the best way to do it. Everything else is just an educated guess on something.
But if that, but to bring it down to a more basic level, when the engineer, has the results of his study, how does that still bring more bodies as volunteers? The at the most basic level, the problem is that there are not enough volunteers, not just in Roosevelt, in Millstone, everywhere. There aren't enough volunteers. So no matter what model they come up with, how do you get the bodies?
The gentleman asked me how you basically would figure out what you have to do. I gave him an answer. I'm just saying to you right now.
I'm asking you a question.
Just saying to you right now that at this point in time, the only viable way forward that I see is a multi-municipality volunteer and career first aid squad. You would still have to do that engineering model because you don't want to over-allocate resources and you don't want to under-allocate resources. But rest assured, everyone's taxes are going to go up. Right now, the model that you have is you have a volunteer first aid squad that responds to some percentage of the calls, clearly not all, not many, not as many as we'd like, and frequently during the day, not that many. Okay? But in that situation, we have mutual aid, either from Millstone, sometimes from Allentown, where there are career squads that are there.
Well, but you're missing my point. I'm asking you, this is a governing body. They need definite data points. So we know what you cost, $20,000, and the service you provide. We have that data, right? But we don't have the flip side because we've never been able to go out and ask what that is. If you're saying that you can do what our current service is with the 47% mutual aid, and that seems to be covering a lot of it, to be quite honest with you, from the numbers that I saw in the book, and then we could go out for the daytime to figure out what that costs, then we have an apples to apples. And I agree with you. That's going to be a lot more than $20,000. But if we can split it across other jurisdictions, you know what I mean? We need a starting point to move forward.
The question that I have is you see, you keep going back to things like, well, what are we going to do during the daytime? But what you're going to do during the daytime, no matter what you come up with, unless you plan two EMTs in a rig sitting there all the time, which we know is not really a feasible alternative, is going to be no more than what you're getting now from mutual aid. So I don't necessarily see, and I've been in this first aid business for many, many, many years, what you're attempting to do to basically, what you're actually looking for. Are you looking for coverage during the day? Well, then again, you have to specify what does that mean. It means that an ambulance shows up. Well, right now an ambulance does show up. If it's not the Roosevelt First Aid Squad, it's mutual aid.
Except sometimes it's taking up to 45 minutes. That's what's unacceptable.
No, not sometimes it's taking up to 45 minutes. There was one time that it took up to 45 minutes.
I've gotten more calls than that, Neil.
Basically, the problem is that if you had a paid squad, if you had, when that happened, the paid squad in Millstone was unavailable. All right? And so basically, what I'm basically trying to say to you is that when you deal with these things, you deal with the fact that you don't have people sitting idly by. So there are going to be those times when every squad in the area is unavailable or are not engaged. I've been on mutual aid calls as far away as Freehold Borough, okay, because they did not have people available. And that's the nature of the whole operation. You do not have people sitting around waiting to get a call. All right, and so that, you see, when we hear about this constant refrain of, well, somebody waited 45 minutes, yeah, that's the way it works. I mean, I've been on calls where people are having heart attacks, and there are no paramedics available.
But that's not an ideal situation, and that's why we're trying to come up with something.
That's the nature of the way it works.
But
you don't want that, move into the basement of the hospital. All right? I don't mean to be flip.
Right, but it doesn't mean
it's a random event, and there are limited resources. And when the resources are engaged, they have to get other resources, and sometimes it takes a while.
And that's going to be true whether or not you're paying for people or whether or not, you know, we have 100 volunteers. I mean, if, you know, we have two rigs, there's always a possibility if we had 30 volunteers in daytime coverage that somebody's going to have a first aid call when those two rigs, one could be at the hospital, one could be going to mutual aid somewhere, and there is no rig. And what do you do at that point? You call mutual aid. And then you have to wait for them to come. That's the nature of the way it works. And anybody who tells you anything different is basically smoking mirrors.
We understand that. What I'm trying to explain to you is just that we've heard from many residents that are unhappy with the situation, and we know what the situation is. It's our duty to explore every option available to us that can improve the situation. That's what we're doing.
On a question here, we're not experts in first aid or any of that, and you are, and you know all the people in the adjoining areas that are also. Has there been an attempt by first aid squad here, first aid squad there, the one over there, to sit down and knowing what the problems are, because everybody is espousing the problems, what do the first aid squads tend to want to think should happen? How can it work itself out?
2 years ago, I actually went to Millstone and had this conversation. The problem in Millstone is
with the first aid squad in Millstone.
With the first aid squad.
Okay.
That's when they had a first aid
squad. I remember they showed
but
up there.
Suffice to say, what ended up happening there was that there were members of the township committee, all right, who took it upon themselves to basically attempt to fix the problem. And in the end, they bankrupted and destroyed the Millstone First Aid Squad. That's
one of the local population of first aid squads.
Right.
Had Millstone and Roosevelt and Allentown and Monroe and everybody Upper Freehold gotten together and tried to talk this out.
Monroe's completely paid.
No, I'm just saying, was there an attempt or could there be an attempt for everybody to sit down and brainstorm this?
The last time I came in front of the council.
There are now.
All right.
Well, it sounds like Peggy's saying that's what the county sheriff is trying to do.
The sheriff's doing it. There's another meeting this week to try to coordinate.
Are you guys involved? Are you guys involved with these meetings?
No one has invited us. But the other thing is that I just want to point out the whole Monmouth County Sheriff's Department situation. Okay. The Monmouth County Sheriff has, from what I've heard, made discussions about supporting BLS, that's non-paramedic ambulance. But the reality of it is that there's a fundamental reason why they want to do that. And that fundamental reason is that there are a slew of towns along the Jersey Shore that have their population increased tenfold during the summer. And these towns do not have the emergency resources to cover what goes on there. So the county is looking, and let's face it, the county possibly can even make money doing this because they can bill all these things, is interested in building up some resources and stepping in and providing that. They're not going to provide BLS out here. Monarch tried to provide even paramedic service out here. And within 6 months, they yanked their people out.
Do you go to these meetings with the sheriff?
Greg and I were at the meeting with the sheriff.
Could you go to these?
We were invited as Roosevelt to be included in the
Monmouth
County.
Could you go to these meetings as more than a participant?
The point I'm trying to make is that I've had conversations with people who know what's going on in the sheriff's office.
Understood. But would you want to go to these meetings?
Joe, the meeting was for mayors and business administrators of the towns. That's why the meeting I went to was just for the mayors of Monmouth County and or this end, western end of Monmouth
County.
Well,
I would assume that they're going to get first aid squads involved.
For now, it was the mayors. And then there are various other meetings where they're trying to put together stuff.
But I'm assuming that if first aid squads were invited to participate that you guys
probably
would?
Yes, but as I was saying to you, all right, as far as I understand, what Monmouth County is interested in doing is supporting the shore communities that do not have the resources for the city. And basically, you have a lot of people there who will pay their bills because they're coming in here on vacation.
I think that should be a discussion between mayors on this side of the county.
You go, unfortunately, as crass as this sounds, you go where the money is first. But the bottom line here is that, as far as Roosevelt is concerned, tactically, as I said, and I said this at the last meeting, the only viable solution that I could see that has any chance of succeeding is a model similar to what goes on in Seaside Heights, and various other communities where multiple jurisdictions basically band together.
Mutual aid, shared services, yeah.
What?
Mutual aid, shared services.
Exactly. As I said, well, no, it's not mutual aid.
I'll speak with people I know down there and see what they're doing.
I actually looked into it. There's a, and I'm sure your attorney can advise you, but basically it's an organization and the career people would end up being employees by the largest municipality, but technically it gets funded by all, the career people get funded by all of the member municipalities. But let's face it, this is going to cost money, lots of money. You just have to know that.
But so in other words, you are adamantly against spending any money, but we have a dire situation here where more than half the calls aren't being answered. We have
that's a canard. I mean, the calls are answered. They're just not necessarily being answered by the Roosevelt First Aid Squad.
Or by any squad in a timely manner or as expediently as you need them to be.
But that is the nature of the business, all right? That's the way it works. And if you were to, like I said, if you were to shut down the Roosevelt First Aid Squad tomorrow, which is in your purview as of January 1, all right? If you were to shut them down and basically say Millstone coverage, guess what? You'll get coverage from Robert Wood Johnson and Millstone. But they're not going to put another ambulance there. It's going to be the same ambulance. They're not going to add another ambulance just because Roosevelt comes on board for our, 62 calls a year. They're not going to put another ambulance on. So whatever resources you have already, except you have the Roosevelt First Aid Squad, who's there and provides coverage right now, at very, very low cost. Secondly, the borough could make an effort to assist in recruiting. Another idea that was brought up at a prior meeting by myself was making it an incentive for members of the town, for residents, to join the First Aid Squad. One incentive would be that you can't give tax credits, but you probably can give water sewer credits for people to join, because that's a private utility.
Well, you can't do that, but you can waive any fees.
You can waive
all fees for First Aid Squad for volunteers.
Right.
So, like, if there's a permit, zoning fees, permit fees, rental fees, you can waive all fees like that. But you can't do water and sewer or tax or things that relate on property because you have to prove that you didn't receive the services according to the statute, Title 54. Mm-hmm. But you can give all fees.
And you can make some sort of effort in that manner in order to basically encourage people to join. If you want to
assist, that wouldn't do it.
What?
We don't have that many fees. We don't collect very many fees.
This was a suggestion. I'm not necessarily making it as a solution.
Right. Well, there's a blurb in the borough bulletin every month about joining.
You can also pay stipends to your employees to join the squads.
That's another thing that some municipalities do. They have
that's the other thing you can do. Because the people are in town all day.
Especially, they have their employees become EMTs and it's in their job description.
We have so few employees, though.
It doesn't matter. All you need is two. And if we have a power lift, it can even be 98-pound vehicles. All right? So, net, right now, I'm assuming you're not going to make the
donation. No, but the bottom line is it's on hold. We've asked for a lot of information from the squad. Quite frankly, we haven't gotten it. We got a 990, which is a public document that we had already. that anyone can access. If you go online and look at a public document for nonprofits, you're required by law to file it. We had that. We had 3 years of those. We had a letter dated November 7th, or an email from you, mm-hmm. that specified how you would like to use money moving ahead. You'd like to spend $17,000 on new equipment, $100,000 for two power cots for two rigs, and
power cots are about $30,000.
Well, $50,000 per vehicle, CPR machines and a power cot. Yeah. $50,000 per vehicle times two, $100,000
right.
for to set up two rigs.
This is what has become standard in
right.
the ELS rigs.
Right. So we brought this up in a finance committee meeting, and we looked at what finances we did have, which was that one $990,000 and a few prior year ones. We saw that you had approximately $75,000 in your bank accounts in reserve at the end of 2018. Expenditures seemed to be relatively minor. Relatively minimal. You haven't been really expending a lot of money except for ongoing maintenance. And the committee had a lot of questions, and I outlined it at the last meeting, at the November 25th meeting. And some of the questions that we had, that the committee had, was the county's going to be implementing county-wide first aid squad services, or at least they're looking into it, within the next few years. Does it make any sense to invest a large amount of money in equipment at this time? It's one of the questions that we had. We were just outlining, what questions do we have? What do we want more information on? What will happen to our equipment when the county takes over for first aid? Does it make sense to purchase equipment now? These are all concerns that we have. Given the minimal amount of calls responded to on a yearly basis, are these expenditures warranted? Since there are not enough volunteers to effectively man the squad at times, who will use the equipment if purchased? Why outfit two rigs with expensive equipment if we have trouble sometimes manning even one rig for much of the time? How often are two rigs out on calls at any given time? How many calls does the first aid squad respond to annually? We would like information about, and we'd like to look at some of these figures and see. We need more data points. The committee expressed concerns about the reluctance of the first aid squad to work with the borough council and with the Millstone Fire Department in order to enhance services. I know there have been issues with that. We're not going to get into those issues and what they are, but that's of concern to the committee, that we can't seem to get things to work, and we can't seem to get information. When I talked to you earlier before the meeting started, in response to a question for looking at your current finances for this year, we only have 2018 information, not 2019, you responded, we don't want to reveal bank account balances. We are trustees for public money. We collect the taxes, and they voted us in office to manage public funds. You don't have to run for public office. You didn't have to pass that muster of going out to the public and saying, look, I'm going to manage public funds. You're not managing public funds. You're managing private funds. But we have to, okay? So we need to look at this information, because we are trustees in the end. And we're talking about a donation. You're not one of our agencies. We have no, there's no actual requirement for you guys to have all your finances for us to review, that I can see, except for the 990s that you have to file. That's the only public kind of document that you have. But in response to let's sit down, let's talk about it on the finance committee, the answer was, we don't want to do that. We don't want to disclose information. We want to be private about it. We don't want the public scrutiny. You told me this. We don't want that kind of scrutiny about things. Unfortunately, we have that kind of scrutiny. We collect the money, and we have to look at the finances and see whether it's warranted. You've generated over $75,000 in surplus. That's in an account. I don't know what it is now. I don't know what your bank account balance is now. But when I asked you about that, you said you don't want to disclose that.
Yeah.
Well, it's a problem when there's not transparency like that, because we don't know. Why are you stockpiling money if you are? What is the balances? What is the actual need there? These are questions that the committee had. Each of us to a person said, we would like to know this information.
Right.
So sit down with us and look at it.
That's an accusation that you just made. Why are you stockpiling money?
We have no authority over you guys. None at all.
Well, that's correct. But you have last year's 990.
Yeah.
You have essentially a list of expenditures that we would like to make. Of course, based upon the amount of money we have, and even the presumed donation, we're not even close to buying everything on that list.
No, you're not.
And so this year we wanted to buy a power pot, which is about $30,000. And we need to replace our AEDs and a few other robots.
We went through three of the 990s, and we saw over time that each year you had more and more reserves that you had accumulated in the bank. And that you were spending a relatively constant amount, minimal amount for maintenance, but your reserves were going up. And the total, the last information that you provided us was that there was approximately $75,000 to $80,000 in the account. We had your document where this is what we'd like to spend the money on. If you give us the donations,
well,
we could do that.
These are the things that we would like to spend money on, not the money. Money.
Well, when you look at the donations over 3 years, the money was borrowed money primarily.
Right.
I think almost 95% of your donations are from the borough. Is that correct?
I
looked at the numbers.
And I didn't speak
yeah. Well, they are. I'll tell you. They are. So we had a lot of questions, and we still have a lot of questions, and we have a lot of concerns. And as the mayor responded, we're looking at ways to provide the coverage that we need, and we're exploring alternatives. And in the meantime, we're holding on to that money. That doesn't mean that the first aid squad isn't going to get it. You can still get it. That money in the 2019 budget is still there in the budget. It's allocated for that should we decide to do that, should we decide to donate $20,000. It can be donated in 2020. We probably still have a line there for $20,000. And we can allocate the 2019 money if we wanted to, or the 2020 money, or both. But we need to figure out how we're going to move ahead with this, because everything is in a state of change. The squad, including the squad, over time the squad has had fewer members. You've had the same problems that other squads have had, and that we've outlined and we've talked about here. So we're looking at alternatives. So I don't know.
No, I think it's Lori. Our deputy clerk.
Neil, what are your thoughts about this supposed county system that is down the road a couple of years? I mean, how would that affect? Because personally, I think it's I didn't realize until you were speaking tonight, you know, how valuable it is to have the rescue squad right here in town. The benefit of the mutual aid and all that, it just seems way worth the $20,000, in my opinion. So I'm just sort of trying to look ahead a little bit, and like with this county thing that may be happening, how would that affect?
Well, look at it this way, all right? When you have, you know, if you look out, say, 30 years into the future, I would presume that by then, fire, first aid, maybe even police would be gone on a county basis. Maybe not things. All right? But basically, that's a long-term goal. It's not a tactical goal. It's not happening next week. To give you a short-term example, if you look at Millstone's experience, when they took steps that basically were not helpful to the Volunteer First Aid Squad and ended up essentially decimating the Volunteer First Aid Squad, they found that it was almost impossible to constitute their own municipal-based First Aid Squad. That's why they didn't do it. It's fantastically expensive, and there's just a huge amount of work and effort that needs to go into making it happen. All right? So I'm not anyone who disagrees with the idea that, you know, in the long term, and I'm talking about decades into the future, services are going to have to be mutualized across maybe the county, maybe several counties. But rest assured, when that happens, there's going to be some county engineer who's going to say, we're not putting a rig here. We're going to do an analysis and see, and do a, it's actually technically, a queuing model, and say,
where do I have to position resources so that 85% of the time I have within a 15-minute response time? But that means 15% of the time, you're not going to have a 15-minute response time. You might have 20, 30, or 40-minute response time. That's the nature of the beast. That's the way it works. All right? Just like when you walk into the bank, sometimes there's nobody in front of you. Sometimes there's 50 people in front of you. It's a random thing, and you never know. But the bank engineer designs that, this is the classic, you know, QM 101 model. He designs it so that there's a certain performance level that they can achieve, and it's a measurable metric. And that's what's going to happen. We don't do that. We don't have the resources. The council didn't want to do it for, say, like the fire department. It was brought up. No one's going to do it for the first aid squad. However, if you had a regionalized first aid squad, mutualized between multiple jurisdictions, this is something that we might do. And bear in mind, I'm fully aware that if, say, we had a Upper Freehold, Millstone, maybe even Freehold Township, Roosevelt. First aid squad, and maybe fire. There might not be a rig parked here, because engineering-wise, it might be more advantageous to put a building somewhere in the middle of Upper Freehold, because that's the location that best suits where the calls are coming from. All right. So
it may be equidistant.
Well, maybe, but that's for an engineer to decide, not for you or I. Right now. We support, we have our rigs here because, it really doesn't matter where in Roosevelt you put them. They're going to take the same amount of fun, basically. But it's the nature of the beast. All right? Everything is a statistical probability as to how often and how long it takes to respond. All right? And I really take offense when, Peggy, when you say there was no response to this first aid. There's always
no response. No, I didn't say no response. I said, well, yes, either Roosevelt is unable. Okay. Yes, all Roosevelt right. is either unable to respond, or people are waiting a long time.
And so,
that's not any kind of accusation. That's simply the facts that Neil. How many people? How many active EMTs are on your squad who truly go out on the
six.
Calls? Really, can you name me the six?
Allison.
Allison, does Allison really go on calls?
Shift.
Her name is not on anything that you've ever submitted
Allison.
To us or on your tax form.
Who's Allison?
Mitchell. Her name is not on anything anywhere. Nowhere.
Allison, Jacob, myself, John, Mark, and we have a new cadet in the center, a new residential.
That's Weason.
And then
that's
we have
very
driver,
recent, yeah.
Debbie,
I know the driver. But
because our SOGs allow us to have one EMT and a driver.
I know. But mostly it's pretty much the same three people who go out every time.
It is. It
yeah.
Is, right? No doubt about it.
Right. And this is not...
Listen.
Wait, this is... I never intended any kind of disrespect. Everyone here is grateful for the first aid squad. That's a given. We're only worried about the fact that there's basically three people going out answering less than half of the calls overall, 5% during the day. You can go on and on about the county and the future and mutual aid.
But doesn't that also provide for the mutual aid?
Yes,
I mean, if you don't get out, then there's a big benefit to that, I think.
Well, Steve, to answer your question, so far three counties in New Jersey have countywide emergency services, Gloucester, Morris, and Warren. So what I've been told is that it works very well. That doesn't mean that Monmouth is right behind them. We don't know when Monmouth will institute theirs. We have no idea.
So there are no volunteer rescue squads in these counties that are now run by...
Well, the way it works is that it's paid, it's career paid 24/7 in those three counties, but volunteers are welcome to join the squad.
Supplemented,
thank you. Yeah. So we can always contact those three counties, ask how it's working, how I'm waiting to hear
I'm
from
sure
the sheriff.
Has done that.
What
Who?
Has?
I'm sure the sheriff has done that.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has, because he's the one who said that it's working very well.
But the point basically is that if and when the county set something up, and it could take years for them to do that. It's going to happen on the shore to supplement those communities that have a much higher density, that have a much higher per capita.
Can you say that for sure? With absolute certainty that we would not have be serviced by the county here? That's not what I was told at the meeting.
My understanding is that we would get the necessary, and it goes by demographics.
But it also, I mean, it's all the same. It's all relative. I mean, because the shore also has the most volunteers.
All right.
So, like, Belmar has three different squads that are all EMT trained. Lifeguards, the water rescue squad, and the EMS. You know, so it's all relative. I mean, but he's also, it's all a point is well taken because you're just reducing the number of ambulances. That's what you're saying. Because at the end of the day, we could pay anybody. We could pay Millstone to come. You could pay, you know, anyone to come in the area. There's one less ambulance in the area. That's what you're trying to say, right? That's your point overall. Right. So he's talking about the overall resources, period. Unless you're paying someone new to come into the area, which is very expensive, you're reducing the number of ambulances if the Roosevelt squad doesn't exist. That's in a nutshell, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
So he's saying on a macro level, we're talking more micro money and stuff like that, but on a macro level he's saying, we exist, there's one less ambulance in the area, and the area is not getting any smaller. So
tactically, what I'm saying to you, and you're on the right track, strategically, many years out, the only way to proceed is some sort of mutualization of squads. Clearly. One would even argue mutualization of school boards, mutualization of public works, and so forth.
I believe when I see it, for sure.
All right? Okay? That's not going to happen in the short term. And by the short term, I mean the next year, two, three, even maybe five. Because it takes a while to set these things up. As an example, Millstone's been at this thing for like 3 or 4 years, and they've gotten nothing. All right? Because it takes a lot of work. All right? It's a lot of employees, it's a lot of training, and so forth. So right now, to go to your point, okay, you get the benefit of whatever calls that we can answer, plus mutual aid from paid squads in the area for $20,000. I hate to put it in those terms, but that's what it comes down to. All right?
It's a bargain.
Okay? Yeah. And in the future, all right, before Big Brother takes over everything, the solution in the medium term, in my opinion, is a local mutualization of multiple squads. I brought this up at the last meeting. I think you mentioned that you were a part of there. I offered to have a sit down. But the whole issue behind this thing, behind some sort of mutualized squads consisting of like panhandle squads and some from Mercer County, it's hard when you go to Mercer County because of the dispatch protocols and so on. All right. The whole thing behind it is that once you start engaging career people, you need to have a funding source, and that funding source is going to be tax money. Because, you know, I mean, you can try to collect, you're not necessarily going to collect.
But
an open question as to even whether or not you want to try.
Right, so let's say it's a zero-sum game and there's no money, right? And we're in the current scenario. Let's say you first aid squad gets you $20,000, everything's running the way it is. What is the next step from there to enhance the service for the residents so that no one waits 45? And I don't say no one, because you could have a 25-car pileup on the turnpike and everyone in the area is out there. So I totally get that.
No, that doesn't happen. I mean, because the county does the dispatch. And there have been times when we've been pulled to go to calls in Ocean County. All
right. Right, but I'm saying, what's the next step to enhance the service? What's the next step to lower response times?
I would like to see a mutualization of.
Let's say we can't get that together. Let's say we can't get mutualization together, but you have your $20,000. What's the next step? Is it paid duty crews? Is there even the people that would be willing to do that? What's the next step? What's the medium? What's the common ground? That's what I'm trying to get to.
Well, okay. If you wanted to have a better local response time and you wanted to have paid duty crews, all right, you have to expect that the cost is going to be exorbitant. You can do it.
Right, but probably less than bringing in. So I guess my point is that the next step, though? Like, there's nothing in between there. More volunteers or paid duty crews?
There are a bunch of things that you can do to enhance, you know, your squad that don't involve engaging career people. Okay. For example, whatever municipal people you have, all right, you might have to pay them a little bit more. Let them get EMTs and have them respond during the day. I mean, you know, we have, there are women. I mean, I know that the borough clerk, I don't know if they're, you know.
We're gonna get Kathleen to training on Saturday.
All right.
Well, you also mentioned school teachers and school personnel. There's a lot more employees over at the school, and they're there during the day.
That
would be a perfect kind of situation. Have you guys considered going over there and talking to the chief school administrator?
These are employees of the town and the school board.
Could make a presentation.
School board. Yeah.
If you want to basically set up a meeting where we can bring in the teachers, because this really, I don't know, you know, the school board has to be on board with it.
Yeah.
The borough has to be on board
yeah,
with
just
it.
Go with
basically
council.
Individuals. All right?
I can't imagine
I thought
the teachers
would
be allowed to leave the class to do that.
Well, if
for an emergency, they could.
What?
For an emergency,
I don't know, with all the school. I don't know.
I don't
that
know either, but that would be something to
work. School maintenance manager.
An insurance
thing.
A business administrator
or
someone.
But, you know, the point is that they may not want to do it.
Yes.
It's a matter of the school board making it an incentive for them to do it, like a bonus or some other aspect. There, you know, if there are certain fees that, if you can restructure the way that people pay for things around here, I don't know. I mean,
we can't. We're guided by.
I understand that.
By county and state law.
You're talking more paid volunteers.
Part of it as rent and part of it as
paid volunteers.
And then you can
basically come out of the water sewer budget.
You know, eliminate the fee for those people. There are out of the box things that the borough can do. All right, but no one's come.
Well, but the first
engaged us. No one's asked us.
There are out of the box things that you guys can do too.
Right,
like go visit the school board. That's not our jurisdiction.
You know what the state of your squad is. I think it's in your best interest to also go out and try to recruit volunteers. We
a minimal amount of recruiting, but we have had, we've had a bunch of people call us. They come, they don't show up.
Right.
It's an arduous task to become our first aid.
Oh, I know.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. But everyone here, we have all these duties. It's hard for us. But as the first aid squad itself, it might behoove you to make your presentation.
Well, if we had a fully staffed first aid squad, I mean, that would solve all the problems.
That's a big if. But none of the towns have them.
It's worth exploring.
Well, there is a meeting.
You know what happens? There was a time a little while ago, about 4 years ago, where we had about 3 to 4 times the call volume that we have right now. And the reason was, we were going into Millstone all the time because as their squad was shrinking. Right? So we kept them alive. Now, there was a time when the reverse was true. They kept us alive. Okay. Now, listen, these things are, for example, if you want to make your staff available to basically incentivize them to become members of the first aid squad, that would be perfectly fine.
It would. I just want to let you know that we have a minuscule staff. There's like two or three people. That's it. But I can't vouch for them whether they are able, capable, or willing to join.
That's why I said if you want to incentivize them to join, that's perfectly fine. All right? I would think that, you know, it would be better coming from you to talk to the school board, but I would be happy to bring it up at the school board if they would want to incentivize. It's kind of challenging for the school board to do that, but I will be happy to speak to school board members about doing that. But still, you're asking what are the steps? Things like that are very, very important.
Yeah, it's been done in other towns.
All right.
If the town knew what we're sort of discussing right now, if the town really knew, you know, the costs involved, if the rescue squad collapses, I mean, it would be a disaster. So if the town knew, you know, what the costs are involved, the savings of having the rescue squad, if everybody got on board and it became a dialogue, you know, then maybe recruiting would be a little bit easier. People would understand that movement in that direction of helping out the rescue squad.
Neil, why don't you write a letter to the Borough Bulletin?
Sorry, but the point is that I'm just to follow up on what you're saying. When you have a situation like this, when I first joined the first aid squad, there were three people. I was the third. All right, there was me, Jack Green, and Herb Johnson. That some of you know, like maybe you know. All right, and we responded to whatever calls we had, and tangentially, there was never a question from anybody on the council when they made a donation. But in addition, Millstone would do a lot of coverage here. And the council would even make a donation to Millstone for space money. Alright? Five years ago, polls were reversed. And we were covering them more than anybody. But the story I wanted to tell was about 15 years ago, there was a time when we were short. And the council, I don't know if the council encouraged it, but there was a group of people in town. They formed this committee. They called it, what's called Operation Rescue. And their job was to recruit. It was just recruitment. And in the end, we ended up with, I think, three or four additional members, none of which are still on the squad. All right? But it's... You know, doing recruitment and making and incentivizing the membership in the first aid squad by the borough would go very, very far in helping out. Every additional EMT that we have is could potentially save someone's life in them. And that's what people have to understand.
I want to ask you something. When you say that you added another four people to the squad, was it 5 years ago you said?
It was like 15 years.
15 years ago, they were the women in the town that were and I use the word advisory. Housewives.
And Rena was one. She was actually a nurse. Rena Peters.
Yeah.
Who else there was?
And Carol Walker was on.
Helen Barth?
Well, Helen was a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Long.
Okay.
See, that was the. You see, you know, you're not. You're addressing a totally different demographic than you had 15 years ago.
There are people retiring now, 55 and 60. I mean, there are people who are retired or 60, 65 years old.
But this problem, Steve, is pervasive. It's not Rosa. Every town, they can't get volunteers
because the. They're all
well, like you said, maybe with some incentives.
Well, just let me say that there is another meeting this week, and Roosevelt's included in the discussions of what to do in this area that we're lacking.
Where is this?
So, I'm not sure because I'm aware of it, but I'm
a countywide thing. Countywide?
No, it's not countywide.
Oh.
But and I'm not invited to it. I just was made aware of it. But because they, they're going to include Roosevelt in their discussions. So we may know more about that by the next meeting in January. I think at this point it's getting really late.
Sir, I'd like to summarize.
Sure.
So tactically, my recommendation is that the $20,000 donation will show your support for the first aid squad, but also it's a cheap amount. For to provide the services that we provide. Secondly, all right, I am 100% in favor of a regional volunteer / career based EMS provider, which might mean the dissolution of the Roosevelt First Aid Squad, but at least some other thing that's volunteer career based, because I think that has the best price performance for what we can hopefully get. But bear in mind, that does require the buy-in of the municipalities, because there's no way in the world in this day and age that
that sort of organization can subsist with the costs that are associated with running these squads.
Well, if it's countywide, there may be a tax on it.
I think it's folly to think that within the tactical timeframe that we're talking about, that you're going to have county BLS.
Yeah, well, that's why we're looking at other options besides the waiting for this county. Right.
County, Ma tried to do this and they failed. Not just with the ALS, paramedics, but with BLS. It was a time. Right? Vermont said to every town in Monmouth County, I think Ocean too, if you want us to be your BLS provider, we'll do it for nothing. All right?
That's true. They did it for Aberdeen for 2 years, for
and
free.
And the reason why they did it was because there were rumors.
To put everyone else out of business, to get a monopoly.
Well, the reason why they did it allegedly was because there were rules about sending bills to patients. You can only send one bill to a patient. So those squads that were billing, even though they were not, right? When ALS showed up, the ALS bill had to be tacked on to the BLS bill. And by providing the BLS, Monarch could guarantee that they could send a bill. Otherwise, they would have to eat the ALS. All right? But at any rate, they failed.
Turns out it's really hard to make money when you don't know when the customer's going to call, how much treatment they need, and how long it's going to take.
But I want to clarify something.
Turns out that's not a good business model for private industry.
But it is a public service that the county or the state.
That's the fact of the matter, and I think I've said this again before. It's a public service. It's just a matter of which level the government's best equipped to provide it. I think that most people agree it's the county.
Yeah.
And so we'll see if they're able to do that or not. But in the meantime, you still got to pick people up. You still got people.
It's the leading edge of healthcare.
So let me clarify this from your summary, and I want this on the record. The reason that you have not received the $20,000 yet is not because we think it's too much money, not because we're interested in withholding it, because we're against the first aid squad, anti-first aid, and nothing to do with a paltry amount, a large amount. It was strictly to hold it in reserve while we explore other options in case we needed it to contract to someone.
And this is the first time hearing that statement. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I do have one other matter. All right. And this also does concern the first aid squad. I review your resolution engaging Millstone First Aid Squad, and I think you should revisit that resolution because it was, on its surface, inadequate in terms of how you would engage them. There was no mention of insurance coverage. There was no mention of certifications. There was no mention of chain of command. There were none of these things mentioned, and they should have been if you were going to engage them, because essentially, this is almost like, and maybe your lawyer can, correct
Mr. Cannon.
Mr. Cannon can, right? If litigation ever occurred, and by the way, there's been lawsuits with the Roosevelt First Aid Squad, and thank God for the insurance, okay? But if litigation ever occurred, the only thing that you have documenting what their responsibilities are is that resolution.
That's not accurate. It augments the fire services agreement. All that insurance and everything is spurred on the fire service.
They're not an EMS provider. They're not certified. I've been on calls with them with guys that didn't have credentials.
I guess my point is, what your point is inaccurate in that it's not just a resolution. The resolution augments the fire services agreement, which is lengthy and includes all kinds of indemnification and harmless and all sorts of stuff underlying it.
They're not on fire calls.
Okay.
They're not on fire calls. They're on EMS calls as EMS providers. All right? That's it. They're not on fire calls.
All right.
Also, I'm getting all of the records sent to me to show that every Millstone firefighter is a certified EMT. I know there was a complaint. You brought it up now and at the last meeting that they didn't have a badge on their jacket, but...
Well, they didn't have proper first aid attire. They didn't have proper equipment.
They didn't have, I mean, they walked in.
I just wanted to say
that I think that the resolution should be a lot stronger in terms of the requirements that they have to provide services. All right? And if it's in your fire service agreement, then make sure your fire service agreement covers the EMS calls.
Thank you. Does anyone else have anything they want to say from the public? Put Michael to sleep.
You've got to wake him up to say, right?
We put him to sleep.
So I will close the public portion at 9:11.
Mm-hmm.
Counselor, do we have a need for
no,
a closed
is it
session?
No need.
Excellent.
So do I have a motion? And please, everyone say quietly.
And leave them here for the night.
Quietly.
You
have a motion to adjourn?
Listen,
you
better
sooner
or later.
Motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Without exception, please.
Second. All in favor?
Wait, who second?
We all three.
Put Joe Tremel.
Pick anybody you like.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Welcome back, Michael.
Meeting adjourned.
We were going to walk out and send one person.
We weren't going to leave without you, Mike. No. Good. No.